Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and pleased to tell you that this is our 900th show. How about that? Not bad. Well, listen, I'm excited to bring on a returning guest, financial writer and author Jonathan Clements, who has written the book Jonathan Clements Money Guide 2016, and the website is jonathanclements.com. You got a lot of T's in his name, so don't miss those. J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N and then C-L-E-M-E-N-T-S, jonathanclements.com. And you can get more information about the book and all of Jonathan's writings, and he has been just, well, you open up the dictionary, you see prolific. He's got his little picture there. So, I mean, he's Mr. Prolific. He's written a bunch of books. We've had him on to talk about some of his previous books before, and just as an example, from October of 94 to April of 08, he wrote 1,009 columns for the journal, and so that's a pretty impressive track record, and he spent 20 years with the Wall Street Journal writing and being a columnist. He's a financial writer based just outside of New York City, and he's got a great background and has a lot of interesting perspective. Born in England and graduated from Cambridge University, and he's done a lot of interesting work. He's got a newsletter you can check out over on the website, and of course, check out the Facebook and the Twitter, all of those social media opportunities. So we'll talk about the book, but we've got some good topics courtesy of Beth, who we've lined up with Jonathan. We're going to talk about some of the things to do for 2016 and what not to do, and also some of the information he thinks is helpful for us. So we'll dive right in here. Jonathan, welcome back to the program.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on again, and congratulations on your 900th show. I think you're the one who's being prolific.
Well, listen, if it counts me in your category, I'll take it, but I think I got some work to do because I'm still an amateur, but you're the professional when it comes to writing and media. I will tell you that it is certainly a humbling experience to come in and do the radio when, you know, I'm used to my world of the financial work. You know, that's where I swim every day. So the radio and, of course, writing columns, which I do as well, that's all a humbling thing for me. So I admire your work in that area. And I want to dive in here and get to, I mean, your book's great. I was talking to Jonathan before we started the program, ladies and gentlemen. I'm holding a book. He sent me a complimentary copy, and it's very nice, and it's a great read, and it's broken up. I love the way he's got it broken up. 419 little sections that, so you can read one a day for a year and still have a few extra left over. So a great approach to writing a book, and I really am excited to dig in myself. But let's jump in here, Jonathan, and start with this. Everybody talks about New Year's resolutions, and you know, it's always good to think about the things we want to do, but there are things we should do, but things we shouldn't do, things we should be careful about. So if you don't mind, we'll do it in reverse order. What are your big things that from all the work you've done and study of the financial world and observing all this for a couple of decades that you have, give us a couple things that you say, hey, don't do this. And then we'll get to the things that they should do.
I think one of the things that tends to be top of mind every year is what's going on in the financial markets. Mm. I mean, you know this as well as I, David, from dealing with clients that, you know, while there are important issues to deal with when it comes to debt and saving for college and making sure you have an estate plan, the markets have a way of getting up in people's faces.
Oh,
you know, every day the markets are open, you've got these moves, often sharp moves in the first week of 2016, we had the Dow and the S&P 500 down 6%.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things that I would say to people to do in 2016 is to run a fire drill. And what I mean by that is sit down, look at your portfolio, and say to yourself, what would happen if my stocks lost 50% of their value? What if we had a rerun of 2007 to 2009 when the S&P 500 lost 57%. I don't honestly believe that's going to happen, but I think it's a great exercise for people to do, to sit down with their portfolios, look at how much they have in stocks, say, what would I do if those stocks were cut in half? Would it have a huge impact on my ability to pay for retirement or my ability to pay for other upcoming goals? How would I personally react if that happened again? Would I panic and sell? Because if you're going to panic and sell, I'm telling you, it's a lot better to panic and sell at today's prices rather than waiting for the market to be down another 20 or 30%.
That's right. If you can't take the punch, you can't be standing there.
And if you really can't take the punch, in addition to lowering the risk level of your portfolio, I think that's a moment at which every do-it-yourself investor should say, maybe I need professional help.
Mm.
If you can't sit tight through market turmoil, if you find yourself reaching for the sell button, then probably you need somebody to coach you through these market declines and make sure that you stay the course.
Well, that's well put, Jonathan. I can't disagree a bit. And you need somebody that's going to, we have a 3-no policy in my office. So a client wants to sell, we say, no, now let's talk about it. No, let's talk about it. No, let's talk about it. But I mean, eventually we'll do what they tell us to do. It's their money. But I think that that's very well put. And, you know, back to your original comment, which I think is really a key thing that people need to understand, is not just that, you know, hey, can you take the punch? Can you withstand? Do you have the ability to stomach the drop? It's not just that. It's not just about your ability to stomach it, because I think sometimes people kind of use it like a test of personal constitution, or it's some indicator of your personality, your strength, or, you know, how tough are you? That's not really what I'm getting at least when I talk to people about this. It's you know, you said, are the things you need to pay for, the things, if somebody needs to start drawing on their funds for retirement, or they're in retirement, they need to draw on those funds to have the income they need every month, or they've got a cruise, or they got something else they need to pay for, that's really got nothing to do with whether, quote unquote, you can stomach the drop or not.
No, I absolutely agree with you, David. I mean, one rule of thumb that I frequently use with readers and with investors that I talk to is you should figure out how much money you're going to need from your portfolio over the next 5 years. And that might be the money you need to pay for the years ahead of retirement. It might be the money that you need for the house down payment. It might be the money you're going to use to remodel the kitchen. Whatever that sum of money is that you need from savings over the next 5 years, that money should be out of stocks, it should be out of riskier bonds, and it should be in relatively conservative investments. What we're talking about here are CDs, money market funds, mm-hmm. savings accounts. Probably the riskiest you should buy is short-term high-quality bonds.
Wow. We're on the same page there, Jonathan. It's... You know, you can't gamble with money that you know you're going to need for sure. And, you know, I tell people all the time that money that's invested in the market, it's there, it's got a purpose. It's there for the long term, and that's what it does. When you need the money, you need to know that it's going to be what you need and you can get to it. And it just, you have some of all these things depending on the person's situation. And if somebody's, you know, on the front end of all this, they're 20 years old and they're, you know, putting money in their 401k, that's very different than needing that money and having to go to it. Let's grab a break, and I want to get back with Jonathan here in just a second. Jonathan Clements, ladies and gentlemen. The book, Jonathan Clements, Money Guide 2016, jonathanclements.com. Remember all those T's? J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Clements, C-L-E-M-E-N-T-S.com. The book, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Lots of great resources for you over at Jonathan Clements. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com.
All right, we're back. Jonathan Clements on the line, returning guest, financial writer and author, written the book Jonathan Clements Money Guide 2016. And if you go to the website, you'll see all the books that Jonathan's written. A lot of cool stuff, and it's impressive to say the least. And so, Jonathan, I want to switch gears. It'll be a slight shifting of gears here, but I think very interesting and relevant for our listeners, and something that I know is important to you that you continue to monitor and track, and it's especially relevant given that that 2016, of course, is an election year. The big question is, how are Americans faring? How are they doing financially?
And in general, when you look at the numbers, what you discover is there's a relatively large minority that are doing just fine. You know, they're on track for a comfortable retirement. They're saving a decent amount of their income. But there is a significant portion of the population, and I suspect a majority, who are not faring well financially. And it's not that, you know, the unemployment rate hasn't come down. It isn't that Americans haven't got their debts under control since late 2008, when we saw a peak in the level of household debt. Instead, what I'm talking about is saving for the financial future.
Yeah.
There's a startling number that is in a report put out every year by the Employee Benefit Research Institute. And what the Employee Benefit Research Institute found was that among American workers, so these people are still working, age 55 and older, among these workers, 52% have less than $50,000 in savings.
Mm.
So these people are probably within 10 years of retirement,
right?
And they have less than $50,000 in savings. Now, if you're a financial planner and you're talking to clients, often you're going to be using something called a 4% withdrawal rate. If you have $50,000 saved for retirement, using a 4% withdrawal rate, that will give you $2,000 to spend in the first year of your retirement.
Mm. That's not going to get you very far.
Social Security, clearly, you know, you're going to have more than $2,000, maybe you're going to have $22,000. But unless these people have some sort of traditional employer pension plan that's going to cut them a check every month for the rest of their life, they're in deep financial trouble. It's worrisome.
Yeah, and we know that those pension plans have gone away, and they're really either phased out, they've been frozen, or they just are shrinking very quickly. There's just not many of those around anymore.
And that brings me to another pair of statistics that are really quite startling. You know, you've mentioned the phase-out of traditional employer pension plans. Many of those traditional employer pension plans have been replaced by 401k and similar plans where employees are responsible not only for contributing every year, but also for making smart investment decisions. Financial Engines and Vanguard both did surveys of 401k participants over the past year, and they found that somewhere between a quarter and a third of all participants in 401k plans fail to put in enough money into those plans to earn the full matching employer contribution. You know, a lot of these plans, you'll get, say, 50 cents from your employer for every dollar you put in, up to maybe 6% of pay. Putting in your dollars so you get the matching contribution from your employer is like getting free money.
Right.
The best bargain in saving and investing is that your number one goal every year should be to fund that 401k plan enough to get that full matching employer contribution. And yet, the numbers tell us between a quarter and a third of Americans are failing to do that.
Well, when you started to cite that statistic, Jonathan, I thought you were going to say that, you know, here's a percentage that don't max out their 401k or make the most of it. But then the statistic took a bad turn, that these are this significant percentage of people that are just leaving, unfortunately, and it's not, I'm not judging anybody, but just unfortunately due to whatever the circumstance is that they're not even getting the full benefit of what the employer is making available.
And, you know, I would sort of just throw in, you know, one thought-provoking comment here, which is this. Even if you envisage getting laid off, even if you're in a perilous financial state, if you fund a 401k plan and get that matching contribution, and you're laid off and you have to cash out your 401k plan and pay income taxes and pay tax penalties, if in the course of doing all that you get a matching employer contribution, you're still going to be ahead financially.
Yeah, yeah.
The matching contribution is going to more than compensate for the tax penalty you have to pay. So even people who say, oh no, I'm really worried about getting laid off, I need to save every dollar that I can, even so, you should still fund that 401k plan and then, you know, if necessary, cash it out when you leave. Not the thing I would advise doing, but even if you do that, you're going to be ahead financially.
Well, that's well put. So, you know, the thing that I hear, a theme, and again, this is where some of the political component of this, and I'm not asking you to weigh in politically here, Jonathan, but I'm hearing the word that comes into my mind's eye is stagnation, that there is a stagnation among, you know, yes, in some quarters people are doing well, but there's, for a lot of the, you know, everyday average Americans, there are still challenges and even reverberations felt from that 2008-2009 period you talked about, and it's almost like there needs to be something that changes, and it's not just people, you know, yanking themselves up by their bootstraps and, you know, yes, they can save more and they can do these things, but if the money's not there to do it, it really gives me some pause to what, you know, baby boomers and people approaching retirement, the numbers you cited earlier about the number that just don't have a lot saved, that where are they going to be without that pension?
I think we do have this sort of basic dilemma in U.S. society today, which is this. I mean, the numbers do tell us that we have increasing income inequality. And at the same time, you know, there are ever more temptations to spend.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, you sit in front of a computer and you can shop like crazy. Now you can find all kinds of people to blame for this situation. You can blame income inequality on the greed of senior executives of corporations. You can blame it on government mismanagement. But in the end, you know, nobody puts a gun to your head and says you have to go out and buy the latest iPhone. You know, nobody puts a gun to your head and says you have to go out and lease a luxury car. All of us, even if we think that other people are messing up the system, all of us have to take personal financial responsibility. I mean, that's what American society is all about. And if you're not saving enough for retirement and not doing enough to secure your family's financial future, you have to take responsibility for that and find some way to spend less save more.
I don't know, Jonathan. That seems very hard. Isn't it easier just for me to blame everything on George Bush? I mean, you're making us work here. I mean, come on, you're making us think. No, it's good stuff, and I'm, of course, being a little silly. Jonathan Clemens is not silly, and we're glad he's with us. And financial writer, author, decades of experience, and glad to have him with us. A book, Jonathan Clemens, Money Guide 2016. The website, of course, jonathanclemens.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. The Y is more than just a gym. With a focus on healthy living, it allows the Y to offer resources and guidance to help children, seniors, adults, and families maintain or improve their physical activity, health, and wellness. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds to the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
And we're back. Jonathan Clemens on the line. JonathanClemens.com and the book, Jonathan Clemens Money Guide 2016. And I'm going to flip through there, Jonathan. I think there's a lot of great column ideas. Thank you very much. I will give you credit.
You can steal anything you want, David.
All right. Well, you know you'll get credit. I'll give props and credit where it's due. Well, you know, you mentioned before the break, and again, a lot of this, two of my favorite words that I hyphenate in the English language are self-determination, and I'm a big fan of that, and people striving and doing and seeking and pursuing, but we spoke honestly about the realities of there being some income inequality, and you know, you can't really even have a conversation about with income inequality without a reference or discussion also of where we are with taxes. And I know you've got some key information about taxes 2015, 2016, and some of the changes and some of your thoughts about that. What are things looking like? I mean, where are we?
The last major tax simplification occurred in 1986. And in the years since, what we've seen is the tax code has become increasingly junked up with special credits, special deductions, special savings accounts geared towards different financial goals. You can feel the political pressure building in Washington to rewrite the tax code and simplify it. I mean, the fact is, you know, we've got to the point where almost nobody can do their taxes by hand anymore. Either you have to hire an accountant or a tax preparer, or you have to get the software.
Right.
Trying to do it by hand is simply impossible. We need to get back to the point where you don't have to hire a tax preparer and you don't have to have the software in order to get this done. And that's going to mean rewriting the tax code. That, in many ways, is why this election is going to be so important, because, you know, whoever wins the White House and whoever controls the House and Senate is going to drive that rewriting of the tax code. And I fully expect that we will see a major tax bill in 2017. For the individual level, beyond worrying about tax rates and so on, one of the big things that people should watch out for is what happens with something called the stretch IRA.
Oh, yeah.
For most people, when they die, the biggest tax bill that their heirs will pay is the tax bill that will still be owed when they draw down the IRA that you bequeathed them. Currently, your heirs have the right to draw down that account slowly over their lifetime.
Right.
That means the amount of tax they have to pay every year is relatively small, and they can continue to get tax-deferred growth from your IRA.
Right.
But there's been suggestions in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats, that we end the stretch IRA and force most beneficiaries, everybody except for your spouse, to empty that account within 5 years.
Ooh.
That's going to be a big change. It'll mean big tax bills very quickly for your heirs.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they would want to do that, Jonathan. I mean, to get the taxes paid quickly. I mean, not only do they get the money faster, which is more valuable to them, being Congress, but also it accelerates the puts you into a higher bracket. I mean, if the IRA is large enough, it could put you into the 43% effective tax bracket.
Yeah, I mean, you're making an important point there, David. Supposing you have a substantial IRA and you leave it to your daughter and she is in the workforce and earning money, she's forced to empty that IRA over the first 5 years after your death.
Right.
Every one of those dollars will be taxed for marginal tax rate. So
right.
The tax rate could be very high.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you spoke of simplification. I think that that's certainly going to be a conversation point, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it from the candidates. I actually got a personal letter the other day from Bernie Sanders, and he said, David, we're going to make it easy. Just send the postcard in. Whatever you make, you just send it in at us. Done. Whatever you make, send it in. No, I'm kidding again, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, when you see and hear some of these very big bombs thrown, and I have to tell you that anytime I hear the Republicans and the Democrats agreeing, it does make me a little nervous, Jonathan.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, and one thing they do seem to agree on is ending the stretch IRA.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I fear is going away. The other thing that we saw in 2015, we may see more of in the years ahead, is starting to rewrite the rules on Social Security. It's probably too complicated to get into now, but there were a couple of major changes to the rules for claiming Social Security last year that will reduce the amount of benefits that many people receive, and I expect we're going to see more of that in the years ahead.
Well, you're right on. I know they will, and we definitely will talk about that another time, but you know what? Here's the sad reality, and all kidding aside, this is not a joke. When they start playing games or they start trying to, you know, move the nut underneath the walnut shell, and they say, oh, no, you're going to have to draw out that inherited IRA within 5 years. If that's what they do, that's just one example I know of how they might make changes. But if they do that, what's going to happen is the people that are in a middle America, everyday Americans, are going to get hit again. And the people maybe that they're trying to tax at a higher rate, Jonathan, that maybe the people with more money, guess what they're going to do? They're going to be the ones with their families that do pre-planning, and they're going to see somebody like me, and I'm going to show them how to take that IRA and that along with maybe some financial products and a trust or something else. And guess what? They'll end up being able to mitigate, reduce the taxes, and not pay anywhere the taxes that would have been paid, or the net benefit to the family will not be anywhere as great compared to what we can do with this kind of planning. So the very people, you know, that are in the middle, the monkey in the middle is going to lose out again.
And, you know, the sad reality, to add to your sad reality, is that in a sense, you know, that's not entirely surprising. You can only raise so many tax dollars by soaking the rich. I mean, there just aren't that many of them. And as you suggest, you know, they'll find ways around any tax, that new tax that is introduced. By contrast, you know, raising the taxes slightly on the vast middle class will always get the federal government much more revenue.
Well, that's true. And maybe they're smarter than we think they are. Maybe that's really the goal. And we'll target those that have the most and get everybody else to vote for going after the people with the most. And ironically, it ends up being what happens, ends up affecting the people in the middle that voted for the very thing that they were trying to get the people at the top to pay for. Well, I'll tell you what, Jonathan, we'll have you back and we'll talk about Social Security and some other subjects. Jonathan Clements, ladies and gentlemen, financial writer and author. The new book, Jonathan Clements, Money Guide 2016. Go to the website, jonathanclements.com, for more information. Jonathan, always great to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.